Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 101 on this Wednesday afternoon. It's a heater, as Bogus just mentioned, 93 degrees outside. You got Melusis with you, taking you right up until 2. Tommy and Sean and Pat Boyle, they come your way then, take you through the afternoon. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Out to Los Angeles we go. It's Jonathan. What's going on, Jonathan?
Hello?
Yes, Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going, Moose?
What up? How are you? How's the West Coast treating you this morning?
It's pretty gloomy here, but I know we're going to get a good day, man. But, Moose, second time calling in, big fan of the show. But, I mean, me as a Yankee fan, man, it's a disgrace these fans sometimes calling in that they don't even know the player's name. Oh, whatever his name is. And then you're going to compare it to Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
That was that.
Well, let's be perfectly honest. There's never going to be. If you had the privilege of watching Mariano Rivera, I am confident to say this. There will never be another closer that is of the ilk of what Rivera was with the Yankees ever in Major League Baseball.
Exactly.
He was that good.
Amen.
He was that much of an outlier. He was that brilliant. And to carry on, there might be guys that have years, I'm not telling you that, a couple years, 2-3 years, to carry the brilliance that he did for as long as he did, you know, and that, you know, and his brilliant cutter. It was a thing to watch. And he completely and utterly trusted him, even though he wasn't successful every single time. His save percentage for his career was not 100%. He completely and utterly trusted Rivera in every big-time spot. So, you know, it's amazing, you know, how he came to be, you know, and, you know, they, you know, Ruben Rivera and Mariano Rivera, and Ruben had the accolades early on in his career, and Mariano ended up being the greatest closer the sport has ever seen.
Exactly. And you know what? And thanks to him and thanks to Jeter and the Core Four, a lot of fans like myself that are not from New York are huge Yankee fans. And you can't just call in and just be like, oh, you know what? Yeah, this guy, whatever his name is,
Jonathan, you're just not, like, you get immediately voted off the island. Like, the Yankee, there should be a Yankee island that's created. Like, if you don't know the players' names that you're watching or have no idea, you know, you're really not a fan. You're really not a fan. Like, there's no other way to put it. You're just not. And I understand that there, you know, people like to have it on the background, this and that. You can't give me a hot take and tell me that Lewis Gill is going to be the next Romario Rivera.
That's
asinine. It really is.
Exactly. You said it best, Moose. But let me tell you something, Moose. Me as a Yankee fan, look, I'm going to do it this way, man. We're still one game in front. Yep. We're getting Schmitty back. We're getting E. Frost back. We're getting the Terminator, Ian Hamilton, back. But I think, you know what? I mean, and it's a crapshoot right now, man. It's baseball, all right? Like the great, you know, it's baseball, Susan, all right?
Yeah, Jonathan, I think there are things that are lining up for the Yankees to now the team has to go out there and get the job done in October because this was not the Yankees make a lot of money. The Yankees' last rating, I think they're worth $7.9 billion. They generate a lot of revenue. They are very, very successful from a business as a business entity. And I get, you know, the bottom line is the bottom line. How we as fans, you know, we're not seeing any of that money. They're not giving you a rebate. They're not giving you a refund. Right. They're not taking money off the tickets. They're not doing any of that. You want to see a title. And the Yankees have not won a World Series since 2009. This group this year was put together to try and win a World Series and to win a World Series. And that has to be the success mark. It can't be. They haven't gotten through the American League since 2009. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the Astros have treated them like you know, the redheaded stepchild every time they've seen them in October. And they've laughed and mocked. I know that still bothers Brian Cashman, but that is the God's honest truth. So this team is going to be judged based on not how many games they win in the regular season. It's important to go win the American League East, Jonathan, but they're going to be graded and judged by what this team does come October and potentially winning a World Series for the first time since 2009.
Perfectly said, Moose. But you know what? Let me get one quick point in. Just like you said, Moose, we want good product on the field. I'm not, I actually live in Los Angeles, but I'm a diehard a Yankee fan, and I'm actually going to take my family. We've been there in Houston. We're actually going for the, hopefully if everything goes well, for the playoffs in October, and I'm actually going to go to Oakland to go see one of the last games over there in versus the A's in a few weeks from now. But like you said, Moose, we want good product on the field. If you want people to go, you know, go to fill up these stadiums in or out Yankee Stadium, come on, Cash. You got to put product, sign Soto. It is what it is. And Moose, you know what? Regarding personal wise, I love listening to you late night, brother. But I could get used to it listening to you in the morning, man. Well, great show, Moose.
Thank I appreciate it, Jonathan. Thank you for the call. It's been a while since I've been on the overnights, but thank you for the call. And it's good to hear from a Yankee fan out there in L.A. Wes in Maspeth, New York, is up next to the fan. What's going on, Wes?
Hey, Moose. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, Wes.
I'm listening to a lot of his callers, and it seems to be the same. All the holes the Yankees have. They've had these holes since the Core Four and Bernie were gone, except for 2009. But all of these teams were built on Yankee dollars. Outside of Judge, since 93, because that's probably the year after Jeter and all of them. Outside of Judge, where is the star that the Yankees have drafted, developed, and scouted? You can't say Cano because I believe he came internationally. But Cash.
Right, but that's, I understand. But there's a lot of guys that are signed internationally that don't turn out to be anything.
No, but I'm just saying, it's Yankee money that did it. It's the money.
No, I get it. But now the amount that you can spend internationally is different than when the Yankees were signing the great Andy Morales, who turned out to be nothing from Cuba. But, I mean, there is – the Yankees have done a good job misspending money and taking you back a number of years with that signing. But – I understand you're talking about draft and developing guys. Yeah, I mean,
all-star teams with the players that they didn't pick, and that includes guys like Barry Zito, Pujols. They passed on Pujols, Zito, Teixeira, and it's not so bad they passed on them. It's who they drafted.
Yeah, I mean, but Wes, we've discussed this before. I mean, they like guys and. You know, part of the scouting, the internal scouting process has got to be able to figure out who can play and who can't, who's being built up that we can move, and who is exactly going to be a long-term solution. Like, you look at it, you know, they let guys like Miguel Andujar rot away on the vine. They let a guy like Clint Frazier rot away. Right, but Andujar got... you know, was being sent up, down, not playing, all this stuff at that time. Yeah. But Miguel Andujar was not properly developed. Or they didn't move him at the time when he had value. Clint Frazier's another guy that they did not move. Yes. Yankee brass is going to point to in the here and now. They're going to point to Anthony Volpe as being a guy that they're going to develop. Wells is going to be a guy that they develop. Dominguez is going to be a guy that obviously they develop. Judge is the one when you're looking at, you know, say a pure high school or college prospect. Judge is the guy, but he's the best player in baseball right now. That is what Aaron Judge is.
But I hear with the Cashman constantly stating he's not, you know, you can build a team without spending $300 million. Yeah, I guess once in a while that's true. But I'm afraid that making the playoffs, I don't know. I just think Cashman's is all about the business, the bottom dollar, and not the winning like his dad. It scares me.
Well, you think Hal is about that, unlike George, right? I mean, Cashman's father was not George Steinbrenner, but I get the point that you're making. Yeah, we've had this conversation before about the Yankees and how you define success and what it is now and what it was years ago. You know, I had Yankee fans call up saying I have season tickets and I like the fact that I can trust having those tickets that they're going to be playing relevant games in August and September and meaningful games in August and September. And that's good enough for me. I don't need to be a, you know, greedy or, you know, piggy Yankee fan where they have to win year in and year out. That's really not the point that needs to be accentuated. The point is where's the accountability? Like, you can have both. You could be drawing a lot of people year in and year out. charge a lot to park the car, charge a lot for tickets, charge a lot to go have a steak sandwich from Lobel's or whatever it is, you know, down the left field line. You could be doing all that, drawing 43,000 plus, and there needs to be accountability within the organization where you do some internal scouting. And the Yankees did. They had an analytics department come in and kind of look at the way that the Yankees use their analytics to see if they were using them properly. That's the internal scouting. Now, you want to get to the, you know, the eyeball test. When you're looking at high school prospects, when you're looking at college prospects and teaching the quote-unquote Yankee way of the way that you're going to go out there and what your brand of baseball is going to be, how your players are going to pitch, how they're going to hit, what it's going to be. Similar to what, you know, the Cardinals have done, similar to what the Astros have done in recent memory. Yeah, you know, the Yankees have not done a great job of they've done a good job of developing players, getting them to a certain level. But they have not been able to finish off the job on the major league level. I think that's fair. I mean, I think it's, you know, a fair and honest assessment. It is. Now you want to say, well, you know, a lot of these guys didn't turn out to be. Well, then it's the job of the organization to move those players when their value is at the peak to get somebody that you know can help your major league club if you don't believe they can help you long term. That's what you need to do. That's what the good teams do. Let's head out to Branford, Connecticut. It's Wayne. It's the fan. What's going on, Wayne?
Hey, Moose. How you doing?
How you doing, Wayne? What's on your mind, buddy?
All summer long, I've been listening to these guys calling him Gil. I finally had to call.
Yes, Luis Gil. Yes.
Yeah, Luis Gil. I bet you if they saw Domingo Germán's name in print, they would call him Domingo German.
Maybe. I mean, Wayne, I don't know. And I get, like, you start doing radio or start working on TV, right, pronunciations are a big-time key, right? Leagues put out, you know, pronunciation guides. They used to in paper form. Now everything's online, right, to where how you pronounce players' names, it's important. And it's one thing when, you know, you hit the airwaves, if you want to be credible, you know, you want to make sure that you pronounce names properly on TV or radio when, you know, you take pride in the job that you're doing. So my whole thing is that if you are a huge Yankee fan, if you love the Yankees, if you watch them all the time, there's no way you're calling this radio station, the mecca that is WFAN, and pronouncing him as Luis Gil.
Well, I'm pretty sure, I'm no Spanish expert, but I'm pretty sure the G is kind of like the J in Spanish. It has an H sound.
Yes.
You follow me? And the I has an E sound. I think even Lou in Astoria calls him Gil, which is quite surprising.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, Wayne, I can't go through everybody and how they.
No, I know. I'm not. Yeah.
And how they pronounce the name, but that's the way you pronounce the name.
So, and I wasn't in everyone's mind.
I wasn't really good in Spanish class at Don Bosco Prep. So,
you know, like, so you're saying it wrong, and I'm saying it wrong because it's G I L. Must be Gil.
No.
I'm pretty sure. That's a Spanish thing.
You got to appreciate the call, Wayne. It's just the way you pronounce his name. I don't know. Is that right? I don't know if...
Put it this way. On social media,
yes.
When Heel pitches a great game, they put out King of the Heel.
Yes!
If it's pronounced like a G, they wouldn't put it out that way.
Dove knows. No TV at all. Which went viral last time I was on the airwaves, which I had no idea. All of a sudden, Doe was like, look at this. It's all over the place. Because you are, I expected you to be watching TV every night, or at least the Yankee game every night. I was not aware you did not have a TV.
It's on Prime, I think, tonight.
There you go. Thank you. Sometimes you got to check, flip around. You have no idea where the game is. But it's always here. It's always on the radio side. Tom in beautiful Pearl River, New York. What's going on, Tom?
That's right. It is beautiful Pearl River. Gotta love it. But anyways, how we doing, Moose? Moose, I was listening to you. I believe it was on Friday night. I was driving down from Fenway. You did an awesome job. I think you were overnight that night. But nonetheless, my point.
No, it wasn't. Okay. It wasn't me. I was down in Marco Island on Friday. What Friday night are we talking about?
It was this past Friday night. Was it not you?
No, it was not me.
All right, well, another guy sounds like you and does just as good of a job as you.
Oh, it was so, the great Marco Belletti, good buddy of mine. Marco is on the air. He does a great job.
I see. I was a little confused.
But, no, all right. It's all good. It's all good.
here's my point. I am so done and over with Aaron Boone and the New York Yankees, which are not only the 27-time World Series Yankees, but they're the service time champs. Enough with CJ LeMahieu. He does nothing, nothing good. If you could tell me one thing he does good, then maybe I'll retract this point. But I don't see it with my two eyes.
Yeah, Tom, I think now it's this inherent trust that the Yankees have in DJ LeMahieu. I think that the idea of him turning it around, of him finding it, I think they're wanting something and desiring something that I don't think is attainable.
But like the last time he's done something well, all right, you know what? I'll give you 2020, even though it wasn't a full season.
Well, if you're looking at a regular season game, it would be the afternoon this year in Philadelphia.
Right, the afternoon this year in Philadelphia. I was on a beach. I believe that was early August or late July. Like that was almost a month ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago for DJ LeMahieu. He's not even close to the hitter he once was. And the rationalization from Boone after the game last night, I get the splits for Finnegan against lefties and righties. I understand it. We could all look it up. Just hop online, look at your favorite baseball resource, and they'll give you what the splits are against lefties and righties. But you know, lefties had success in that inning, and you can't then, in a 4-2 game with one out, throw LeMahieu up there and believe that he is going to all of a sudden come through with the hit, because not every situation is one and the same. Not every right-handed hitter is one and the same, and we've watched what LeMahieu and this version is of DJ for quite some time.
Right, and the split thing is nonsense, because there have been times where he's ignored that. So, and there's also, like, and I do trust analytics. I'm not going to completely dismiss it. But at the end of the day, you just have to use your brain a little bit, see what you've seen the last 4 years with him, and understand that there's no way he's coming through in that situation. I was actually happy that he popped up. I was thrilled, because I really thought that he was just going to bang one into the ground, going to go out of the second base or shortstop, and it would have been an easy double play. But I just don't understand. I mean, you have guys like Peraza, Cabrera, Rice that are young guys. Give them playing opportunity. Let's see how they do. And if they suck after, I don't know, 150 games, then they suck. Then we know that we truly have a hole. But you got to give them an opportunity, Moose. That's really all I have.
Yeah, Tom, I don't disagree. And I think it's unfortunate where LeMahieu is now as compared to where DJ was at one point in time in his Yankee career, where there was that inherent trust, and that trust was well-deserved. Now that trust can no longer be there. He's not that caliber of hitter. And has not been in quite some time. He really hasn't been. 119, Malusa is with you. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. Rolling right up until 2. Tommy, Sean, and Pat Boyle come your way then, right here, The Fan in New York.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining. 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Richie, East Iceland. Next on The Fan. What's going on, Richie?
Please don't ever use the word great when you're talking about any Jet team, okay?
I think they're going to be great.
First thing, because football is one of the only sports where the head coach really matters. Time clock management, getting your team prepared, all the things that he failed. They had a chance to go grab Vrabel or one of the other coaches to make this really maybe a Super Bowl contender, but they didn't. They left the worst coach in the league as the head of it.
Your questions about Saleh are all justified. Let me pose something to you. Was George Seifert a great head coach?
Yeah. How can you say he wasn't?
Was Barry Switzer?
How could you say he
was
wasn't?
Barry Switzer a great NFL yes. coach?
All time great coach Barry Switzer. What are you talking about?
He was
about?
An all time great coach in Oklahoma.
Everywhere he went.
Oh no! Hold on a second. But hold on a second. Let's be real here. Barry Switzer hopped on the Jimmy Johnson train. Come on now. Barry Switzer is not an all-time great NFL coach.
Matter?
If your team is talented enough.
No, you can't with this guy.
Yeah, you can't. Okay. So it's over. So Richie, declare the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl this year,
yes.
You're telling me the season's over.
Yes, because they didn't fire Saleh.
It's over.
I laughed at everyone saying
before
we're going to do
it. Before it even started,
you know,
it's over. It's over. Good call from Richie. That was your call of the day, brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. I'm not one. There's a couple things, and we'll get into a little bit of Alonso and the Mets here momentarily. But to me, polls are stupid. Like, and you see it time and time again, right? You really do. And, you know, whether it be when it came out, the NFL, you know, polled players, and it was the, you know, the obviously, you know, the players vote as far as who the number one player in the National Football League is and who is the number one player as voted on by his compatriots, other players around the National Football League. And this came out about a month and a half ago. NFL.com, I think, came out. It was Tyreek Hill, which is moronic. I mean, it really is, right? I used to have the phrase, doing overnights, if you can't play it, talk it, right? So you look at it, I mean, the idea that Tyreek Hill is the number one player in the National Football League, number one wide receiver, yes. Number one playmaker, unbelievable speed, absolutely. You want to look at that, he's a game breaker, no question about it. If you are starting a team right now and you're an NFL general manager, this is why polls are stupid. And you're a general manager and you're coming out there and you're drafting Tyreek Hill over Patrick Mahomes, you should be fired on the spot. I mean, you should be fired on the spot. This is not fantasy football. We're not talking about what you're going to do. Are you going to draft receivers or running backs early? How are you setting yourself up for success? Is it a PPR league? This has nothing to do with fantasy football. This is real deal NFL football. And there were players that actually voted that Tyreek Hill was the best player in the National Football League and not Patrick Mahomes. That makes little to no sense. I make the argument Lamar Jackson is a better player when you're looking at it based on what he does in the course of the regular season than Tyreek Hill, more impactful. I really would. Even though Tyreek Hill has made Tua Tagovailoa an unbelievable amount of money down there in Miami. Now, the new poll comes out, ESPN, right, comes out where they asked 100 players. They were given the granted anonymity as well. So you don't know who exactly voted in this poll, but they came out and they asked players, NFL players, to rank quarterbacks according to a different number of different criteria. And one of the criteria was most overrated quarterback. I'll ask you, Pete Hoffman, who do you think, knowing this, knowing the fact that players voted Tyreek Hill as the number one player in the National Football League and not Patrick Mahomes, I think Mahomes was like fourth on the list, according to NFL.com. 100 players, granted anonymity, right? They were asked by ESPN who the most overrated quarterback in the NFL is. Who do you think they voted for?
Tua?
No, he was tied for second.
Oh.
He was tied for second.
Most overrated quarterback.
Most overrated quarterback. It was not Tua. He was tied for number two.
Patrick Mahomes?
No, not Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers.
No, not even Rodgers. Rodgers isn't even on the list. One more guess.
Justin Herbert?
No. Justin Herbert was fourth on the list. He had 9 votes among the 100 players. You know who was ranked number one who had 11 votes? Now, it's only 11. I get it. But still, there were 11 people, 11 individuals that are lining up in the National Football League that voted this quarterback as the most overrated quarterback in the National Football League. That individual is Josh Allen from the Buffalo Bills. What exactly would lead you to believe that Josh Allen is overrated? I just want to know. Like, I understand it's just 11 votes. Now, Hurts was voted second along with Tua Tagovailoa. Each of those guys had 10. Herbert was fourth with 9. Lawrence with 8. Deshaun Watson with 7. How exactly is Josh Allen? You know who should be leading this list? I got to be perfectly honest with you. If you're going to talk about truly overrated, as people call this radio station day in and day out complaining about the money that he is being paid. Even though right now, if you look at it ranked, I think he's 13th highest paid quarterback or 14th highest paid quarterback in the National Football League after the new deals this offseason. You know, you'd basically be ranked number one would be Daniel Jones. How exactly is Josh Allen the most overrated quarterback in the NFL? That makes little to no sense. It leads me to believe, as I always do, these polls are stupid. I mean, they just are. Whether it be the NFL one or whether it be the ESPN one. Josh Allen being the most overrated quarterback in the National Football League. Do you know what the Giants would give up for Josh Allen right now? Do you know what the Jets would send Aaron Rodgers packing for Josh Allen? I mean, he is an unbelievable quarterback. That makes little to no sense. I mean, it bothered me. See that this morning? I'm saying to myself, who exactly is voting on this? What players? 100 players did ESPN find out where they went out there? 11 of the 100 gave you 10% of them looked at Josh Allen, thinks he's overrated as a quarterback. Why? Because he doesn't punt the ball too? I mean, he does everything for the Buffalo Bills. He runs, he throws, he does everything. He's an unbelievable quarterback and a great leader. Stunning. I mean, that's surprising. It really was.
I could figure out one name on that list that thinks he's overrated.
Who's that?
Stefan Diggs.
Yeah, Stefan Diggs.
Oh, sorry.
Lewis Gill. Did you just say Stefan Diggs? We just went over the fact that, yeah, come on, Hoff. Come on. You're working. Did you really just call him Stefan Diggs?
I did.
Stefan Diggs.
Stefan.
We just had a rant about Lewis Gill.
At least I didn't call him Steven.
That's true. You didn't call him Steven, but you chimed in with a great line, and then you butchered it. It was a tremendous line. It was well thought out. It was a really kind of like, it would be the old like Johnny Carson. It was a tremendous line. And then you mispronounced his name.
5 out of 10 on that one.
Great thought. Great thought. It just was poorly produced. Is that fair?
Do you even like sports, Michael?
I was mentioning about Alonzo. I don't know if you heard it. I heard it driving in. Jerry and Willie were filling in for Boomer and Gio this morning. We have the Alonzo cut from last night out in Arizona. We do. Mets out there start their series with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Manaea was brilliant on the mound. Here is Alonzo, who's got 28 home runs on the season, talking about his future. Take a listen.
This team's really special. It's just such a great group, and I mean this year's been a blast. I mean, it's just been an absolute blast, and I have a really, really special, place for all the guys in this clubhouse in my heart.
Here would be my take on Alonzo here. Number one, Pete, you are an unbelievable power hitter. You've not had your prototypical season. Been a little bit better as of late, right? You've got the 28 home runs. I think he's got 72 RBIs on the season. We've all debated about the future. You've already turned down a contract offer from Stearns Cohen and the Mets this offseason, or during the course of the offseason, right? So this would be in the rearview mirror. You hired a new agent, Scott Boras. Whether you're having second thoughts about that, I don't care, right? You're hitting free agency following this season. Alonzo is a guy where, you know, if you've been around him this year as compared to years gone by, and I think he's one that has felt the pressure of this being a contract season for Pete Alonzo. I do. Probably, the uncomfortable nature of where he is going to land following the season, whether it be back in Queens with the Mets or whether it be someplace else in Major League Baseball, you know, and he obviously wants to get paid, right? He believes that at one point in time in this city, people were comparing Pete Alonzo to Aaron Judge. I mean, those conversations have come to an end based on the fact that Judge has ascended to this immortal status based on his performance. And we've seen Alonzo, especially this year, fizzle out a little bit. But Pete has not had the same personality, same fun nature that he has in years gone by. And I'll ask you this question. What has happened to Alonzo? I mean, that is almost a case of that statement after the game. Taken out of context, I understand that. But that statement after the game last night, where the Mets are victorious over Arizona, where Manaea is brilliant on the mound, where he has the 11 strikeouts, where they trail the Atlanta Braves by 3 games for the wild card spot in the National League. Last in wild card spot. The Braves, who are basically pleading with anybody to come catch them after they've been ravaged by injury, but still here they are, you know, and they've owned the Mets in recent history. We know that regardless of who suits up for them and puts the uniform on for them night in and night out. Here is Alonzo after the game almost pleading with the Mets to bring him back. I mean, Pete, I understand the pressure of this season. I understand that you want to get paid following this year. The love affair that Met fans once had with you, as you see on social media, you hear right here on these WFAN airwaves, you see it all over the place, not necessarily there like it once did. You have Met fans running around talking about Francisco Lindor being the MVP of the league, a guy that Met fans were ready to drive to the airport at the start of the season. Alonzo was the face of this franchise. Alonzo was the jersey you saw when he showed up at Citi Field to watch this Met team play. And he hasn't had that kind of a year. I know he wants to be back. I do. And I feel for him. I really do. The pressure of this season, the pressure of this contract year, I believe has gotten to Alonso. Now, where will he land following this season? I don't know. At one point in time, I thought that there was no way Alonso would play anywhere else in the foreseeable future than with the Mets. Now I'm not so sure. There's a thought that maybe Alonso's not going to be one that ages well, and maybe we're starting to see that. You look at him statistically speaking, some of the analytics showing you that he's tailing off a little bit. He has not been this dominant power force, middle part of that lineup. We saw him this year for the first time in, you know, 2-3 years get dropped behind fourth in the lineup. I understand it was not all that long. It was one game. But still, we've seen that with Alonso this season. And then after the game last night, I'm sure he's enjoyed it. He hasn't acted like it, though. You know, the face of this team used to be Pete. The face of this team is now the shortstop. Francisco Lindor, with what he is defensively and how good he has been offensively, you know, has thrown himself into consideration to be the MVP of the league. Now, do I think he's the MVP? I do not. I think Shohei will win it. Now, is there an argument to be made? Yeah, I was talking about with Hoff a little bit during the course of the break. Yeah, there's an argument to be made because Ohtani doesn't play the field. Ohtani's not pitching. Ohtani's just going out there and hitting. But it's still a really good Dodger team, and Ohtani, even though he has been asked to do just one thing this year, has done it remarkably well. But it's interesting to see the dichotomy of Alonso from his first few years as a Met to where he is now. That's fascinating. If you're not paying attention, just watch before games and after games. Compare it to years gone by. Not one and the same.
Manning takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, quarter two, Melusis with you. Sean, Tommy, Pat Boyle, they're coming your way at 2 o'clock today. Let's head out to Shirley, New York. It's Phil. It's The Fan. What's going on, Phil?
Moose, what's going on, brother? Long time no talk.
Phil, it's been a long time, man. I've been good, man. How about yourself?
I've been good. Mets still battling, still haven't won a championship in this time, the last time since I talked to you. But I don't know if it's happening anytime soon. I'm hoping for this year. Talking about Pete, though, like you said, before the season started, you know, I was saying we have to sign Pete. I can't see Uncle Stevie letting him leave. Now, you know, complete change of heart. I'm okay with him leaving. I don't think we need to sign him just because he's the best power hitter in our franchise's history. We have a bad history, you know what I mean? So we don't need to bring him back because of that. And to be honest, the guy got offered a contract before this year. And now he sounds a little bit desperate asking to come back. I can't see him getting insane amount of money. I mean, look at the contract Freddie Freeman signed. You think he's going to get more than Freddie?
I don't. Right? No, I mean, Phil, and that's the thing that hit me about that last night. Now, it's one statement. It's, you know, one meeting with the media. It's after a win and all of that. But, you know, Pete was almost like a case of, you know, pleading how much he still wanted to be here, how much he's enjoyed this season. Maybe he's seeing the writing on the wall. Maybe he feels like this is going to be it. I don't know what it might be. It might just be, a Tuesday night out in Arizona on an August Tuesday after a game and after a win. They're still in the race. Like at one point, you know, the Alonso defined the Mets. Let's be realistic. Mm-hmm. He doesn't define the Mets anymore. He just doesn't.
No, not at all. Moose.
I mean, Francisco Lindor is the guy that defines the Mets right now. And that's why, people talking about him being an MVP candidate. You know, he is finally comfortable in this city. We know how talented he is. He's unquestionably the leader. You've seen the owner tweet out about how he enjoys the passion that Lindor plays the game with. The upbeat attitude. It was Lindor and company that called that team meeting after Lopez tossed his glove into the stands. I mean, this team has transitioned a little bit if you haven't paid attention this year. And not saying that Alonso is on the outside. I'm not saying that at all. And not telling you that there were any issues in the clubhouse this year. They're not. I mean, a lot of the issues last year had to do with the fact that Verlander and Scherzer couldn't stand one another. I mean, that's where a lot of that started a year ago. I'm just talking about the fact that, you know, we've slowly here within this baseball season, you know, seen a guy in Lindor who Met fans love to hate on. He has now become the unquestioned leader of this team.
Yep. Moose, before you let me go, if you're in Stern's position, how much are you offering Pete?
I would offer him a short-term deal and see if he'd bite.
Yeah, I'm willing to go. I'd be willing to go even up to 5 years. Four, I think, would be ideal. You know, four, 110, 120 in that range, overpay a little bit. You know he's going to at least put up the power numbers. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing him back with the Mets, obviously.
I'm not telling you, right. It's just a matter of, and with him having the kind of year that he has, the Mets have remained in contention. I'm not saying he's been abysmal. He hasn't been abysmal. He just has not been as impactful, I would say, with some of his home runs as he has in years gone by. He still has 28 home runs as we sit here on this Wednesday afternoon.
Still not close for him. It's still not close for him this year, too. If the guy goes run in this month, in the September month, and then, you know, puts up a performance in October, you know, we could be talking a lot different about what kind of money he's going to get.
That's true. I mean, Phil, you're right. I mean, we'll quote the great Aaron Boone again. I mean, it's all in front of us. I mean, that's it. I mean, it is for each and every one of us, each and every day. Everything's in front of us. I mean, the world is your oyster. Love the platitudes from Boone after the game. Very inspirational. But as we sit right now looking at it, do I think he's going to get north of $162 million, given his age? No, I don't. I mean, I don't. But I think that could be beneficial to the Mets to try and bring him back on a shorter-term deal. Bridgewater, New Jersey, we go. It's David, and the $162 is the money that Freeman got from the Los Angeles Dodgers to lead the Braves. David, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Moose. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, man.
I'm chiming in off of that last call there. I stole a little bit of my thunder, but regarding Alonso as well, I think there's probably in that clip you just played, there's probably a little bit of regret as I hear it in his voice, because I think looking now in hindsight, the contract that he was offered in the offseason, I bet you he probably signs up for that right now. Now, since that's not going to be the case, and like the last caller said, I'm sure Stearns is going to give him a little bit less than what was on the table last offseason. I think if I'm Alonso, it's now a matter of, do you want to swallow the pride and swallow a hard pill and take less for less time to stay where you feel you fit best? Or are you going to go and take a contract and fly into obscurity, a la the likes of, you know, a Robinson Cano running out to Seattle, even though I know that was for more money and he walked for the money, but it'll never feel right, I think, between Met fans and Alonso himself, that he's in a different uniform to finish out the rest of his career. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. 7 years, $158 million. That was the extension that Alonso turned down. Now, when he signs and he, you know, hires, I shouldn't say signs, when he hires Scott Boras to be his agent, you know, Boras is, I mean, he's going to take his players to free agency.
Boras isn't going to take anything less than 3 years. He's going to go shop that and get 5-6 years from a team.
Right, but
you know,
here's the deal that Alonso needs to remember, right? And you bring up Robbie Cano. The Yankees were never going to offer Cano the kind of money that he got with Seattle. There was a question of whether or not he was going to age well. Robbie also enjoyed the nightlife. That's why Melky Cabrera was sent away. I mean, there were just different things that came into a factor which led Cano to leave and take the money that he did with Seattle. But did he go to obscurity? No doubt. We live on the East Coast, right? Not many people are staying up late to watch Robbie Cano then, you know, line up, play second base for the Seattle Mariners. With all that being said, for Alonso, you know, he could put himself in a winning situation someplace else. I mean, he could.
Sure.
I mean, Milwaukee was interested before Chicago. I mean, there's other spots where Pete could land, where he could get paid, not necessarily, you know, north of $158 million, but still be put in a situation where he can win. I think Alonso wants to stay here. You know, but I do think right now he's looking at it and probably reading the tea leaves and saying, you know, he was going to have a big time year. He hasn't. He's 29. It's not like he's hitting free agency like Soto is at 25 years old. He's 29. He's an aging slugger in Major League Baseball, still in the prime of his career. He's trending in the opposite direction. What exactly is that going to mean for him in terms of financial value with his next contract? And that's a fear.
Correct. Thanks for taking the call, Moose.
Yeah, you got it, David. Appreciate it. Let's head out to Freehold, New Jersey. It's Neil. It's the fan. What's going on, Neil?
Hey, Moose. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
You got it, Neil. What's on your mind, buddy?
Listen, with Pete, so a couple of things. Number one, I think it sounds like he's regretting not taking that contract. But you don't go a little on the sentiment side, maybe, and give him a 5-year with an option or whatever money, you know, whatever it comes out to. He may be able to approach the 500 mark in homers, and you know, the first Met to do that. Do you give any thought to that? Maybe.
No, Neil. I'm not telling you it's over for Alonso, but when he turns down that offer last June, and it's $158 million, right? And that's where, you know, the conversation comes in, and, you know, potentially talking to other teams, the conversations about moving him never really went anywhere. I think Alonso, with all things being equal, would like to be here. I mean, I do. I think there's value for the Mets for having Pete Alonso here. However, like, just reading the body language and seeing him, he's not the same personality-wise that he was years gone by.
I think he's, you know, like you said, fallen into the pressure of the contract, of trying to get a new contract. But I think once he does get a new contract, that maybe he puts that behind him and he becomes the Pete that he was.
Yeah, I mean, also, I think it's fair. CeeDee Lamb, who you knew was going to get paid by the Dallas Cowboys, after he signed that extension, said, "I can finally breathe." I think Alonso has been trying to catch his breath all season long. Doe, fantastic job. Hoff, great job across the way. Thank you to you guys on the phones. Keep it locked right here. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 10. Tommy, Sean, Pat Boyle, come your way next on this Wednesday afternoon right here at The Fan in New York.